Welcome to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, a place where we share everything you need to know about restoring your metabolism so you can eat more, train less, and lose weight in a healthy and sustainable way.
I'm Kitty Blintfield, co-founder of New Strength and Saturated, creator of Pro Metabolic Food Supplements and Seriously Saturated Skincare. And today we have our friend Brian Thomas back on the podcast from Performance Neuro. He is on Instagram. He's been on heaps. We just love him. He's a really good dude, really knowledgeable, just a really nice guy, Brian.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back.
I can't remember the last podcast we did. Maybe was it on Red Light or?
I think it was Red Light.
That was a good podcast if you want to go back and listen to it. What have you been up to lately? Anything new and exciting?
Oh, I have not been up to anything terribly exciting. I have just been doing the same old coaching and running my membership program and then working out. That's about it.
Oh, well, they're good things to do. I feel like I'm the same. Yeah, we just love the way I'm going to train after this, I think, actually today, which will be fun. I wanted to get Brian on today to talk about fish oil. Because we get so many women coming into our program taking fish oil, think they're doing amazing things for their health. I used to take heaps of fish oil too. So, yeah, I just thought, what a great opportunity to – and you did a post about salmon, which is not fish oil but related. And then maybe we can talk about the salmon too. So I'm not even really sure where we start. Like maybe just talk about what fish oil is and why it's been marketed as this real health supplement that everyone should take.
Sure. So originally, fish hatcheries would harvest a bunch of salmon or cod or other types of fatty fish. And as a waste product of the processing of this fish, they ended up with this huge amount of fish oil. Mm. The fat from the fish was left over. And it was actually deemed a pollutant at the time. And so through very nefarious and skillful marketing, they were able to create this entire industry around how important fish oil is for your health. And as such, we are now in the throes of the momentum created by their marketing that says fish oil is great for you. And we're going to put it in all these products and sell it to you. And you're going to take it and you're going to feel great.
Crazy.
And it's unfortunate because a lot of disease states can be linked back to polyunsaturated fats, which fish oil would fall into that category.
Mm. So can you talk more about like why it's like they tout it for or sell it like it's going to reduce inflammation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the big things with fish oil and polyunsaturated fats in general, where people will talk about the benefits of fish oil actually suppresses immune function. So in terms of an organ transplant, if you had an organ and you had to get it replaced, you get a new kidney or a new liver or whatever it might be, one of the things they will give you is medication to suppress the rejection of that organ. Fish oil is oftentimes combined with those treatments because it prevents the inflammatory response to that rejection process. So fish oil actually lowers the immune response. When somebody's having a terribly stressful reaction to some sort of nutritional deficiency or to some sort of problem in their environment that's causing their body and metabolism to suffer, suppressing the immune system can make people feel better. However, it doesn't solve the problem. It may mask the symptoms, it may slow the metabolic rate, and so you may not see that you have this problem still present, even though it is. So it's this weird kind of Catch 22, which the bioenergetic world is kind of different than a lot of these other dietary models with, because our goal isn't necessarily to slow things down. Our goal is to improve things, improve the metabolic function, improve your thyroid function, improve hormone function. And if we slow down metabolism, if we lower the metabolic rate, things like nutrient deficiencies don't show up as easily. Things like your inflammatory response to whatever is irritating your system, that no longer shows up as easily. So you might feel better on fish oil. And in research, they say, look at all these people. They took it and their symptoms got better. It must be because fish oil is so important. No, it's because you blocked the natural physiological response to the damaging thing causing their problem in the first place. So our goal isn't so much to lower the metabolic rate and suppress immune function. Our goal is to improve the health and get rid of whatever is causing the irritation in the first place.
Makes so much sense, doesn't it? Yeah, it's just so crazy. Like krill oil, fish oil, even flaxseed oil. Like, talk a bit about flaxseed oil. So, wasn't it used in like paint varnishes
Oh yeah,
years ago?
flaxseed oil or linseed is sometimes called.
Yeah.
It's normally used in paint varnishes. It's used as a means to actually make paint itself, so oil-based paints. It can also be used to stain wood because it oxidizes so easily. So you take this jar of linseed oil, put it on a washcloth, rub it on the cutting board, and the cutting board gets this beautiful, nice sheen, and it lasts for a while. And you got to redo that every so often. But the structure of the fat itself is what makes it so that it has that effect. Because linseed oil, polyunsaturated fats in general, by their very chemical structure, are susceptible to oxidation. So oxygen can attach to that chain of fat, and that can actually derange the structure of that fat molecule. And then when that happens, it now becomes unstable and erratic in the system. Now, on a cutting board, it doesn't matter. We want that oxidation because it's what gives it that color, it's what gives it that shine, it's what gives it that texture, it makes it beautiful. But we're not cutting boards. We are human beings, we are mammals. We need things to work and work very well on a cellular level. So if we're constantly exposing ourselves to these types of fats that are now deranged and causing this oxidative stressful process in the body, we're opening up the door to a lot of aberrant functions in a cell that we don't want to deal with. And that's where you start opening the door to a lot of disease states, a lot of hormone dysfunctions, a lot of problems with brain dysfunction and neurodegenerations. So getting rid of PUFA in the diet is probably the most paramount thing somebody could do to improve their health.
Yeah, it's crazy. Can you talk a bit more about like omega-3 and omega-6s, and people are like, oh, you need more omega-3s. Like, can you talk just maybe a bit more about polyunsaturated fats? And I know you sort of touched on what they do in the body, but just a bit more in depth.
Sure. So the notion of omega-3s and omega-6s, people often will hear the term essential fatty acids. And what makes something, quote, essential for the sake of the usage of this word when it comes to the body is that you can't make it yourself, but supposedly your cells need it. So when it comes to the omega-3s, your DHA and your EPA, these are different fractions of fish oil primarily, you're going to, in essence, have certain cellular functions that are attributed to the presence of those fats. And in common nutritional parlance, they'll say, oh, well, because the cell does it when the fats are there, they must be essential because when we don't have those fats, the cells don't do that thing. That's in essence what people are talking about when they're looking at omega-3s, is they hear that we want to have more of these healthy fats, when in reality, you don't want those and they're not healthy. So when it comes to an absence of essential fats, if you're in what's called an EFA deficiency, you're actually going to start producing a compound on your own called meade acid. Meade acid is an omega-9 fatty acid. It's still technically a polyunsaturated fat, but your body produces it on its own. And the way your body produces it makes it actually fairly safe and effective at serving all of the roles and then some of omega-3, and it actually has anti-inflammatory effects. It's a fantastic fatty acid if you can make it, but in order to get to that point, your diet has to be absolutely devoid of PUFA for so long that you actually then become EFA deficient. And in our modern day and age, you just can't do it. Even if you tried to go low PUFA, you're doing all the right things. You're not eating any excess PUFA. You're using the right oils to cook with. You're using the right skincare products. Your PUFA exposure is bare minimum. You'll still never be at zero because even healthy foods like dairy and cheese and milk and eggs and beef and all of these healthy foods, there will still be some minor amount of PUFA in there. So the big thing is that it's very hard to ever become EFA deficient. It takes a long time. And the half-life of these fats is very, very long too. We're talking about 7 years to be completely PUFA free before the PUFA that you stored actually no longer becomes PUFA. And so it's a huge issue with getting rid of it. It's a huge issue to ever become EFA deficient. So if the omega-3s are as essential as they say, which I don't believe they are, you'll never be able to do without them in your modern diet. So you don't need to supplement them anyway, because you're already going to get more than enough as it is.
It's crazy. Hey, I just can't believe I used to take so much fish oil.
I
Wow.
used to take so much. When I was younger, I was following the advice of a guy named Jack Cruz. I'm not suggesting you go out and look up his stuff, but he was a very big advocate of high fish oil diets and ketogenic diets and cold exposure and all these things that just intuitively sound disgusting at this point. But I remember taking somewhere in the realm of about 5 grams of fish oil a day, and I felt miserable. It was the lowest point of my health. And he's
Crazy,
actually the reason I found out about repeat the first time, because he had an article where he said, "Well, this is what the repeat people get wrong." I said, "Who's repeat? Who are these repeat people?" So then I looked up
Who are these crazy fucking people?
repeat.com. Yeah, who's he talking about here? What are they getting wrong? And I remember coming across an article, and it was talking about serotonin and sugar being good for you. I said, "Well, this guy's a nut," and I immediately dismissed it.
I remember you've told me this story. It's the best. And then, but then you and you were with the keto guy. Have it like going over, like, no, I'm just going to go out of ketosis for a bit and then
And then I'll go back. It'll be fine. But then I slept great and I felt amazing. I
you're like,
said,
what the fuck?
"Tell me more about this repeat guy, because that's not supposed to happen."
Oh, that's so funny. All right. Can you talk about salmon? Because that's another thing. I used to smash farm salmon like two or three. Sometimes I'd have it like 5 nights a week.
So, in essence, again, this is what you're going to commonly hear in the nutrition world. In mainstream nutrition, salmon is the bee's knees when it comes to healthy fats, because you get so many of these omega-3s, you get so much of this fish oil. But what we're finding out now is not only is it not ideal to have that much fat in your fatty fish in your diet, because it's very high in these unstable essential fatty acids, quote unquote, but you're also getting exposure to other things. So in farmed salmon, they're actually now adding genetically modified canola oil to the feed of these salmons. So they're changing the fatty acid structure for one. And for two, it now gives the salmon higher calorie diets so that they can farm them more easily, put them on the market, and say they've got so much fat. And now we don't know the ramifications of this. The whole entire conversation around genetic modified food, there's still a lot of unanswered questions. And when you hear a lot of people say, "Oh, well, the science doesn't show that there's any damage," go read Maewon Ho's work. She was a very strong advocate of being cautious with this technology because some of the effects we can't measure yet. And you can look at all sorts of other stuff on that. That's another conversation for another time. But when it comes to the effects of farmed salmon, it can be very, very deleterious to your health as far as what they're doing to the salmon, not to mention heavy metal exposure. Salmon is not a small fish. And so a good rule of thumb to follow is the smaller the fish, the less heavy metal accumulation. The bigger the fish, the more they've eaten smaller fish and accumulated the heavy metals from those smaller fish. And so now the bigger fish have a higher exposure to these toxins. So not only are you going to get an augmented essential fatty acid or PUFA ratio, you're going to get a high amount of fat to begin with, you're also getting a higher amount of mercury and other things that are in the oceans. And that in and of itself should give you pause, because there is a huge amount of plastic. There is a huge amount of microplastics in some of these fish. Mercury aside, you're eating all sorts of things that we are not meant to ingest, and that can be problematic.
So would you say if you get some fresh, wild caught salmon from Canada or something, like having it occasionally is not a problem. It's just don't smash the farmed bloody salmon.
Yeah, having it occasionally because you enjoy it. By all means, I'll eat salmon. If I go get sushi, that's one of the ones I'll have. But I'm having small servings of it. I'm going to have that maybe once every 3, 4, 5 months, if that. So it's not something that I want people to actively seek out and say, "Oh, well, I can have it all the time if I just have a little bit." If you're going to have exposure to some of those fats and some of those compounds in those fats, oysters, shrimp, those are much safer options. Light, lower fat fish tends to be safer fish in general from a PUFA standpoint, but they also tend to be a lot safer in the oceans and waters that they come from. So a lot of times with high fat fish like salmon, they're in colder waters. So if we think back to human nature, human physiology, your body temperature should be, with proper thyroid function, I'm in the States here, so I'm going to say 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit.
37.
37, if you use the actual normal units. But as far as what we're meant to have fatty acid wise, we're meant to be able to move about in our structure. The fats that we have should be liquid enough that we can still move, but solid enough that it doesn't actually have any sort of effect on our actual movement quality. In cold water situations like fish live in, especially salmon, the water is super cold. So the fats that they develop in their body are reflecting the environment that they're in. Meaning, if you take a stick of butter, you leave it out at temperature, it gets soft. That's saturated fat. And at a warmer temperature, it eventually becomes more malleable. You put a stick of butter in cold Arctic waters, it's going to get rock hard really quick. So fish are meant to have a predominance of unsaturated fat because of where they live. That should be what they have as their main fat source, because fish oil will be liquid at that temperature. They can still swim. They can still move. Humans are not meant to be made up of that kind of fat, because the environments we live in don't need that kind of liquid nature to the fatty acid structure.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, so stop. I used to buy the old dodgy Woolworth salmon and just eat it with steamed fucking cabbage. I did put some coconut oil on there, which is good, and salt. So,
I'm sure that was very delicious cabbage.
Then I'd eat the diet jelly after, you know, the no sugar fucking diet jelly. I'm like, oh god, kitty god, fucking how did? No wonder I was binge eating every bloody weekend. Jesus. That was really good and helpful and a good short podcast. I think I get lots of questions actually on fish oil and what about fish oil? Should I be taking fish oil? Save your bloody money. Hey, Brian.
Yeah. Save your money. You're better off eating oysters. You're better off eating eggs, and you're going to get PUFA by default, but you're getting a ton of other safe, healthy nutrients along with it and a far lower amount of exposure to toxins.
So good. So awesome. Well, thanks again for coming on to the podcast. And guys, as always, take a screenshot and share your biggest takeaways on Instagram stories and tag me at Kitty, KittyBlomfield. And I'll pop the links to Brian's podcast to his Instagram below, and you'll be able to find him and what he does. And he's awesome. Follow him. He posts great content. And thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.